Welcome to Positive Parenting. For those of you that are new, my name is Barbara Smiley. I have been seeing and talking about what it takes to raise healthy, happy children and healthy, happy parents, so I welcome you here. Thank you for caring enough about your children to put yourself in a situation where you're ready to learn, where you're ready to question how it is that we parent. I think that through the ages, the thing that's always impressed me the most about parenting is that everybody's always discovering. They're always looking back and saying, did that work, did that not work, and what works today? So that's what we're here to work on. Last time we were together, the emphasis was on parenting, and what is your particular gift as a parent? And what we concluded was that the most important thing that we have to give our children is our ability to teach them. And that the question that we have to continue asking ourselves is, what do we want to teach our children? And I asked some of you to make a list of 10 things that were the most important thing for you to teach your children so that you would know how to guide your behavior and your disciplinary system to include those 10 things. What did you come up with? What are the 10 most important things that you want to teach your children? Honesty.
Love.
Love. Okay. Good humor or bad?
All of it.
Humor? Playfulness? Your kids are what? 8 to 10? Yeah. Priority when you're 8 to 10. All right. Anything else? Appreciation? How many of you compared these to what your spouse would want to teach? Would they match? Probably not. Probably not. As a parent, as a mother, you're a mother, and you have certain things to teach. As a father, the father has certain things to teach. If you're a single family, then you get to teach it all, right? So that's why we started with only 10 things. So out of all of these things, which is the most important? Justice, honesty, love, respect, self-esteem, integrity, humor, playfulness, sharing, peacefulness, perseverance, responsibility, loyalty, best you can be, trust in God, good hygiene, spirituality, kindness, compassion, exploration, generosity, gratitude, appreciation, friendship, life isn't fair, or prosperity. Which one do you have to have in order to even teach?
Love.
Right. So how do you teach that? By being an example. So how do you be an example of love? Just think about your own children. How do you be an example of love?
Love your own spouse.
Spouse? Love yourself. Hug them. Affection. Okay. But being a demonstration is the bottom line, right? So what we're going to talk about tonight is how this is interpreted as a child. How do children receive love? When you have to discipline, when you have to set limits, when you have to change behaviors, how do you do that? Because without this, they're not going to get any of the rest, true? If they don't feel loved, they're not going to be open to having an experience of honesty or justice or trusting God, and they don't care about good hygiene. If you don't feel loved, the last thing you care about is how you smell, you know? You just don't care that you have to start using deodorant at 10 years old. You don't care, you know? So what we're going to talk about tonight is how this is interpreted. So who are children? Who are they? No matter what age, who are children? Their own people, influenced by us all. Okay, so when most people look at Jonathan here, Jonathan's pretty little. When most people look at Jonathan, what do they think? Little. He doesn't understand. He can't verbalize. He has to have everything done for him. So how we interact with Jonathan at this age is as that, yeah? So how does Jonathan receive love at this age? Hugging, touching, nursing, cooing, cawing, clothes. Yes, but then when they grow up, what do we do? As parents, I mean, think about your own children. As parents, what do? As they're growing up, we get it in our head that this child is this age, a particular age that we particularly enjoy. For mine, he's still 6 to 9 months. When I think of my four-year-old, in my mind's eye, he is 6 to 9 months. And when I'm kind of like out of whack because life is just going a little too fast for me today, when I talk to him, I talk to him as a 6 to 9 month-old. Now, darling, you know that you have to. I know, Mommy. I'm like, oh, that's right. You do know that your socks go in the dirty clothes. You know that. That's right. You know that. or I find myself walking around doing it because this poor child can't do it. What does this teach a child? Confusion. Now, how come today I have to do this, and tomorrow I don't have to do this? And how does this whole thing work? How does this mother of mine work? When we think of our children, we think of them in a particular situation. So think about your children. How old are they in your mind's eye? Sam was a newborn.
Yes.
Because that's when he needed you the most. And so a part of you, whenever you interact with him, interacts with him as a six-month-old. The older he gets, the more frustrating that's. Heard your kids, some of you who have older kids, 8, 9, 10, teenagers, I'm not a baby. Stop treating me like a baby. And you're like, I'm not treating you like a baby. I know how to put my shoes on, Mommy. I'm like, all right, you know how to put your shoes on. That's right, you do. Little Freeman.
You're little Freeman, but I'm not little.
That's right.
I'm big now.
That's right.
I'm not a baby, I'm a boy.
Because in your mind's eye, you haven't reevaluated how old you are. And this is one of the problems with being a parent, is that we don't stop where we are today and say, okay, who is this child? What are my expectations of this child? How do I have to change my behavior with this child to treat him age-appropriate? The thing we don't do as parents is treat children age-appropriate. That's fine. Yes, it is. Yes, it is age-appropriate. Well, yes, yes. What I do with my four-year-old. I never say no to snuggle. Never. Because if I do, what am I teaching? I'm not teaching love. And that's not, love is not something you can really teach. Love is not something that is age appropriate. You know, if love at this moment to a child that's this age is hugging and snuggling and kissing, and, I mean, that's age appropriate. For a four-year-old, they don't let you touch you all day, and at night they want to be snuggled. That's age appropriate. Now, when they get to eat, they're going to even give you the time of day. And they might let you rub their back. That's age appropriate. And then they're going to come to you one day and say, Mommy, I want to snuggle. And you'll think to yourself, well, that's not age appropriate. There's no way that love can be age appropriate. Because love changes every day in a child. You think about your children. How many of you have children that go to school? Your children are going to school. What does that mean? Your children are going to school. So they leave your house. And then what happens? They have 30 kids on a school bus, all in a different room. They go to one class, and then they go to another class. How would you feel if you had to change every 45 minutes? You have to change like that every 5 minutes and deal with totally different people. How would you be at the end of the day? And then they come home, and what do we want from them? What did you learn in school today, dear? And they're like, I don't want to do my homework, I just want to play. So one of the things we have to do as parents is that we have to continually update how old our children are in our mind. And all that takes is to stop and evaluate. A lot of parents that I've met had a behavior problem at 4 that at 6 years old they're still treating as a behavior problem, even though it's not a behavior problem anymore. But they believe that if they stop treating that behavior problem, that the behavior is going to return. This just means that they haven't stopped to update. It depends on how quickly your child grows. You should be updating it. He's not this thing. You don't have to be delicate with him now. You don't have to do a lot of the things that you used to have to do with him. You don't have to really worry about his health particularly. You don't have to worry about his breathing anymore. You know, he's past all of those critical stages. And now's the time for him to play. And now you introduce toys and you introduce different things. And then at 6 months you'll have a totally different child. That can all of a sudden move. That you have to say, ooh, goodness, he knows how to roll off the bed. We do that with children up to 2, but after 2, we really don't do that. Right? Things that weren't important yesterday are now priorities. So a child is a person in a small body. That's what a child is. Has feelings. What else do we have? Everything we have. Everything we have. The problem is in the interpretation. How do they interpret it? How do they interpret it? The great thing about kids is that they're extremely forgiving. You notice your kids that when you get angry with them, like for an hour, you're still angry if it was really bad. You're still angry and they're walking around like nothing happened. Well, what are you so upset about? You know, that's like already happened. It's done. It's over. It's been handled. What are you still upset about? Children are extremely forgiving. So the thing we as parents have to do is what? If we expect to teach peacefulness, what do we have to do? Forget it also. Now if it's a reoccurring problem, what do we have to do? Correct the behavior. And the more it bothers you, right, but how does he learn respect? How does he learn exploration? How does he learn any of those things without doing it? That's enough. You determine so.
I think he learned more, he learned more if he was with him.
Yeah, but you're talking about a social situation. So what do you want to teach him socially? That's gonna, if you looked at him 10 years down the road, if he was doing this 10 years down the road, doing what the other kid was doing, you'd be in trouble, yeah? So what do you want to teach him right now about socialization? You want to teach him to be his own person. You want to teach him to not submit to peer pressure. So those are the conversations you have. People are going to do a lot of things that you don't want to do. A lot of things that you don't want to do. And you need to determine, no, I'm talking to him right now, and he needs to determine which ones he wants to do and which ones he doesn't, and take the consequences if he does. But he needs to be clear that it's his decision. And you need to be clear that it's his decision. He's already been punished in school or disciplined. He's already been disciplined in school. So all you can do is use it as an opportunity to talk to him about peer pressure, which is going to be useful his whole life, instead of about how important it is to be in school. Because maybe right now it's not important to have a friend for him. But if he would get in trouble for a friend, you've got a potential problem down the road. So you talk about that rather than trying to, because he's already been disciplined. But you don't want him to be a follower when you want him to do it and say, nope, you don't want to do that. Okay, so. Let me call my mom and find out. Mom? Can I smoke a joint? No, I don't think that's a good idea. All right, Mom. See, and you also want him to be able to trust you to come home and say, Mom, this was the situation. This is what happened to me. Thank you for coming. Instead of coming home and saying, Mom, I got a time out. And then you punish him. Or you discipline him. So if we can remember that children are just little people who evolve and change in an extremely quick manner, like on a day-to-day basis at some point, when they have their growth spurts, they change. You've watched your kids? One day they go to sleep and they're a 2-year-old and then they wake up and they're 6. It's particularly prevalent with teenagers, and we're doing a whole session on teenagers. 1 minute they're this age, the next 1 minute they're 23, and then the next minute they're 14. Particularly prevalent. So it's important that we remind ourselves as parents that our children are growing. Now, when we're growing, when we've had growth experiences in our life, how has it been for us? It's been painful. It's been upsetting. It's been confusing. It's been emotional. Moody. So it's been all of those things. And so here we have these children that are going through these things at different points in the week. And we're trying to interact with them like they were yesterday. Because our parental minds say children should evolve this way, right? If we're a good parent, children should evolve this way, right?
Wrong.
So at some point we have to step back and say, wait a minute, what's happening? In order to reevaluate whether we have a behavior problem or whether we have a child who's just been overwhelmed. Any questions? So in order to teach these things, you have to be a model. How do you teach honesty? How do you teach justice? Set an example. How would you set an example of justice? So what's the difference between justice and responsibility? Okay, so one is self-imposed and one is external. How do you teach respect? Right, like what? How do you? We have a lot of overpraised children in our society. Okay? Okay, and what do you have in order to teach self-esteem? Self-esteem. Which is why the first part is so important, to see yourself as a parent, as a teacher. It's very easy if you think of yourself as a teacher to put in correction, right? You can say, well, I really wanted to teach him responsibility, and what I did was yell. What did I teach him? Well, that wasn't what I wanted to teach him, so now how do I teach him that? Given that I reacted or overreacted in a situation, how do I now correct that situation and teach what I wanted to teach? Right. And what did they learn from that? And what else did they learn? That how they behave is not who they are. Okay. Right. So you make a distinction between who they are and how they behave. And there is a big distinction in the younger years and in the latter years, teenagehood, between who they are and how they behave. But that question means that they are starting to be self-critical and they just want assurance. You still love me even though I... Well, yeah, I love you, but I certainly don't appreciate the cake. That's right. That's right. And he was right. But how many parents can hear that?
Well, not to be right. I have to test myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm the big person. I get to yell. So what does that tell you love to him is? How does he get love? So how do you stop that behavior? How do you stop the behavior of a child getting negative love? How do you stop that? Right, and what do you do with him while he's screaming and ranting and raving and kicking and screaming to get more attention? You put him in time out. And what is the purpose of time out? Every time. Every time. Right. Okay. 10 minutes is too long for most kids. It's usually a minute per year. When you parent, you are not just parenting your children. Do y'all know that? When you parent, you are not just parenting your children. There are times you have to parent your spouse. There are times your spouse has to parent you. So whatever is not happening in your relationship, you can't have happen in your relationship with your children. So do you and Freeman take time out?
I do. Oh, with you and
another? Uh-huh. Do you encourage him, honey? I think you
do. Oh, no, I don't.
When the temperature is rising, it usually takes 2 days for a parent who is nonviolent to hit their children. For a parent who has a stand, I am not hitting my children, it usually takes 2 days to build up to that. So you, as the parent of both of them, you intervene before that happens. Yeah, but the point is it doesn't have to go to that point.
Right.
I mean, this is how it's being established,
right,
that Luca gets attention, negative attention.
Right.
So when one parent is acting like a child, it's the other parent's responsibility to intervene and act like the adult.
Right.
Even if you're the child at the time,
right.
They say, honey, take a time out. I will not. Do you know what that child did? I'm going to handle it. Who taught me how to raise my child?
You take the time out.
Ooh. What am I teaching right now? It's good that you didn't interfere, but the problem that you're having now is that he's going for negative love.
Right.
So you have to turn that around. So how do you turn around? How do you turn that around? Okay, you ignore what you can, and you start praising the things that they're doing well. So if you're trying to have your son be more compassionate, any time he showed the itsy-bitsiest little bit of compassion towards a neighbor or towards helping you out or towards helping his dad out or towards cleaning up after himself, and you would teach him that word, thank you very much. It's really nice that you have such compassion for your brother that you share your joy. Well, this is really nice that you have compassion and would let your brother bore you in the bathroom. And you ingrain that in his head, compassion. You are compassionate. You are compassionate. When he gets more attention for being compassionate than he does for being mean, you do the same thing with Freeman. Freeman, you are so compassionate. That was really nice the way you dealt with that. You are so compassionate. You really handled that well. You're a good dad. I'm really proud of the way you handled that. He's trying to get your goat and you just let him. I am constantly amazed at how well you do that. You're not just parenting the little one. When children act as adults, which we often do, when we throw temper tantrums, we need an adult to be there. The same way a child needs. Now, hopefully you don't have a relationship that you have to do that a whole lot in, but everybody has their weeks. Because I just don't care that I'm allergic to chocolate, I'm sorry. Because I want it. Badly. Seriously badly. Enough to come tell you I had one. Do you see the point, though? You're responsible for what he eats and what he doesn't eat. I do that with my four-year-old. I want an ice cream cone. You really do? Yeah, I do. Okay. You want an ice cream cone? You can have an ice cream cone. Are you going to be healthy tomorrow? Well, no. Well, then I don't recommend you have an ice cream.